We're doing Shmuel Beis. Perek Dalit Vayishma Ben Shol Ki Meis Avner Bechadron. So the son of Shol heard that Avner had been killed in Chavron. Yirpur Yad V'chol Yisrael Nivhalu. He became very weak. This is Ish Boshas. And all Ben Yisrael was very terrified. They didn't know why. They thought maybe David HaMelech was taking revenge on Avner, right? Because Avner had put Ish Boshas in charge and wouldn't let David HaMelech become king after Shaul HaMelech had died 6.5 years ago. They had no idea. They had no idea what was going on. They had no idea what the intentions of David HaMelech were. They didn't know if David killed him or had Yoav kill him or whatever it was.
Okay.
David HaMelech, on the other hand, did everything he could to convince people that he had no hand in it. He cursed Yoav. He followed behind the kever, right? He cried the entire time and mourned Avner to the point where they fed him because he wouldn't eat when Avner had passed away.
Why did David care so much about, like, I mean, Avner in theory was kind of rebelling against him. Like,
there's no question. Avner, even though he was rebelling against him, he was still a tzaddik. There's no question about that. And it also looked like he was trying to, you know, to usurp the kingdom. He didn't want that to be known. He didn't want it to be that it looked like he was grabbing the kingdom away. His whole point, David HaMelech, was to let HaKadosh Baruch Hu do whatever he wanted to do. If he wants to make him
David
king,
didn't,
let him make him king.
David wasn't like pushy on being king.
Exactly. This was pure anivus. And this is good anivus.
Yeah,
not bad anivus. Like Shaul HaMelech wouldn't answer back. This is like, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, I'll do. But when the push came to shove, then David HaMelech shoved. He killed the Gera Maliki that killed Shaul HaMelech. We're going to see what he's going to do over here as well. He also tried to kill Yoav. He had no choice. He couldn't do it. Okay. Ushne Nashim Sarei Gedudim Hayu Ben Shaul. There were two men who were the captains of their troops that were with Shaul HaMelech's son, together with Ish-Boshes. Shema Echad Banav Hashem Ishini Rechav. One was Banav, one was Rechav. B'nei Rimon HaBeirosi. They were the sons of Rimon HaBeirosi. They were brothers. Nidnei Ben Yamin from Yamin. Gigam Beiros Techosheva Ben Yamin. Because they'd eaten Beiros was considered an area that was part of Ben Yamin. Now Ish-Boshes trusted these guys. These were captains of his army. When Avner went down, Banav and Rechav were both people who were ready to be the next one in line. That's what they thought. Even though they were in this important position, nonetheless, they were ungrateful. And they thought that if we stay with Binyamin, we're eventually going to be lost. But if we switch over in defect to David HaMelech right now, maybe we'll be able to get into his kingdom itself. Some say that they were relatives of Avner, and that they held that Avner was killed because of Ish-Boshes. Ish-Boshes sent him away to his death. So they tried to avenge the death of the relative by killing Ish-Boshes. They had to flee from the Erosayim to Gitoyim. Okay, that's where they had to go. By Yusham Garim, they were living there until this day. Now, what had happened? It could be that they murdered somebody else, and that's why they had to run away. That's number one. Or they ran away when Shaul HaMelech had been killed by the Plishtim. They saw that the Plishtim were taking over many cities.
They thought they were working for Ish-Boshes.
They were at one point, right?
Oh, so
but they had run away.
Well,
yeah, we don't know when exactly they had run away. We don't know exactly when it was. But they had run away and they had abandoned their cities, fled, and they could have been fled for 7.5 years, 6.5 years, you know, while Ish-Boshes was in charge. Others say they might have ran away after Avner HaMelech's death. It could be that that's when they ran away because they were worried and they were plotting to take Ish-Boshes' life. But Yonatan ben Shaul ben Nechi Reglayim. Now, Yonatan ben Shaul had one other child who was lame. Ben Chameshon Amayi Beboshmo Shaul Yonatan ben Yisrael. He was 5 years old when the news came about Shaul and Yonatan from Jezreel. But Seo Omanto and his nursemaid picked him up, Batanos, and she ran. As she was hurrying to get away, he fell, and he became lame. Ushmo Mephibosheth. That man was called Mephibosheth. Not Ish-Boshes, but Mephibosheth. Okay, that was Mephibosheth. This was Yehonasan, right? Yehonasan's son, Mephibosheth. He was a cripple. He was unfit for the throne. And that's why Bana and Rechav, when they saw this, they said, Ish-Boshes has to be killed. But no other person here is royal for the throne. Even though Mephibosheth was still alive, said he's not royal to become the king.
It kind of sounds like from these psukim that because he was dropped, his name was Mephibosheth.
It does seem that way, right? As he was going,
what does it mean?
Right over there. Mephibosheth really means from my mouth comes embarrassment. He was so brilliant that every time Dovid HaMelech tried arguing with him, Mephibosheth was able to knock him down. He's considered the Rebbe of Dovid HaMelech. That nobody was like him when it comes to stuff like that. But he was a tremendously great Torah scholar. Listen, the reason why he was left alive is because he didn't care about anything when it came to this stuff, and that's that. That is that he would have been 12 at this time. Mephibosheth is probably 12 years old at that time. Oh, that's amazing. He's 12 years old and he's Dovid HaMelech's Rebbe. Dovid HaMelech at this time was 37.
Was he 37?
Yeah. It's weird to say that he was 12. Okay. Vayochu b'nei, but there has to be, right? Because he was 5 when Yonasan died.
He was already Dovid.
Like, that's weird. Yeah, I don't know.
Wait, where do we see that he's Dovid's Rebbe?
That's brought down from the Gemara. It's Brachos Daf Dalet. Vayochu b'nei Rimon of Erosi Rechav Abana. So the two children of Rimon of Erosi Rechav Abana. Vayavolu b'chom ayom. They came at the heat of the day. Obeis Ish Boshes, the house of Ish Boshes, who shook of his Mishkav Tzarayim. He was sleeping in the middle of the afternoon. V'nei Bohu Atokavais. They came into the middle of the house. Lochei Chitim, right? As if they were dealers of wheat. Vayakul Lachomash. They killed him in the fifth rib. The Rechav Abana Achiv Nimlatu. Rechav Abana and his brother, they escaped. They came to the house while he was sleeping on his bed. In the bed where he was sleeping, in his bedroom. When they hit him and they killed him. And they removed his head and they took his head. And they went by way of Arava all night long. Now, it seems very weird. It seems like a total repetitious pasuk over here.
No, it seems like there were two different deaths going on.
Very, very good. Extremely good.
Because there were two different. Yeah.
Okay, so here, let's go over here. These guys, Rechav Abana, absolutely knew everything that Ish-boshes did. They were close to the monarchy, so they knew that Ish-boshes took a nap in the middle of the day. They knew where he'd be, they knew where he was. At the time, there were wheat merchants that came inside the house. Everybody in the house was preoccupied with the wheat merchants who were selling them wheat and everything like that. They took advantage of the situation where there weren't that many guards around, and they were able to do what they needed to do. The real story is that they entered into with a group of locals, right, who were coming to sell them wheat and stuff like that in the middle of the day. People were milling about, going all over the place, so Rechav and Mada were able to go places that normally they never would have been able to go. They found the man who took care of the wheat sales, and that man took them to the warehouses, which was right by Ish-boshes's
bedroom.
At that moment, while the manager was weighing the wheat, they killed him, the manager. Then they called Allah and said, "Murder, murder." And everybody started running and they all checked out, "Oh my gosh, who did this? Who did the wheat manager?" Whatever it was. While they were doing that, Rechav and Mana ran to Ish-boshes's bedroom where he was sleeping.
So the first, and then the fifth rib is the wheat merchant.
The wheat
and
merchant.
The head is,
and the Ish, after that they went over to Ish-boshes, to his son, and to the Sholomel's son, and they did it over there. They were able to kill him over there. Okay, so hold on 1 second. Moalim, you are with us right now. Go ahead, okay? So just try to put it on whatever. Okay, so we're in the midst of Parak Dalid Pasuk Zion. Parak Dalid Pasuk Zion. Right? That's where we are right now. So this is where we're up to Rechav and Bana. So that's what happened. Their plan was exactly that. They wanted to approach Ish-boshes. They wanted to become commanders of the army when Avner was taken down. This is all from the Redak, the Ralbag, etc. Everybody brings it down. But in order to ensure their escape, they made sure that they would first kill the manager of the wheat when everybody came running to go see what had happened. Then they went to Ish-boshes' chamber and they struck him dead. That's the idea behind it. Now, another shot that's given is that they killed someone else in another part of town first. A wheat merchant who lived in another part of town got all the police to go over there and then went to Ish-boshes' palace and killed Ish-boshes. Regardless, there's no question whatsoever. Some say there's another crazy shot over here. It could be that they went into Ish-boshes' house and they struck him in the fifth rib in order to kill him. They left running away, thinking they wouldn't be able to go anywhere, but when they saw nobody was chasing after them, they looked at each other and said, "Are we positive that we killed him? Maybe we didn't kill him." So they went back and they cut off his head. And that's why it says so many different things in Pasuk Zion and everything like that. But there's no question that no matter what, when they cut off his head, they traveled by the back roads in order to get to Dovid HaMelech, which is why it took them all night to get from where Ish-boshes was to Hebron, which is not that long of a trip. Ish-boshes, says in Pasuk Chas, Ish-boshes el Dovid Hebron. They brought the head to Dovid and Hebron. They said to the king, "This is the head of these verses, the son of Saul, your enemy. Hashem, because not Saul, you wanted to kill you. Vayitan Hashem Laduni Amelech. Hashem gave him over to my master, the king. Vengeance on this day, Mishol Mizaro, from Shaul HaMelech and from his children. Now, what were they thinking? Dagon HaMelech had already killed somebody for saying that he had killed Shaul. What were they thinking, right, that he wasn't going to do the exact same thing over here? So, number one, they might not have known about the Ger HaMelech. They might not have known. That's the obvious thing, right? Maybe they didn't know whatsoever. Number two, that was a Ger HaMelech. He was an Amaleki man. Maybe they killed him. Maybe Dagon HaMelech killed him because he was an Amaleki, even though he had done something. Right. We are captains of the troops of these Ishbosheths. We're not just Stam Jews. We're big people in the kingdom. That's why it's got to be a little bit different. That's number two. Number three, they just saw that Yoav ben Tsruya was not killed for killing Avner. Because he was a powerful man, and David HaMelech didn't feel like he was going to kill a general because he needed him for the army to defeat the Pleshtim. So do we need us, said Rechav and Bana. Rechav and Bana said, he's not going to kill us either. That's the idea behind it. So those are the three reasons why they thought that this is the idea of why David HaMelech would not kill them for doing what they were going to do. That's possible, and that's the reason why. Okay, that's that. Vayan David es Rechav. By the way, there is a Stam idea over here as well. It could be the Rechav Amana did not believe that David HaMelech was going to kill them, because the halacha is you can't accept a person's testimony saying something bad about themselves. They were being marshia et atzma. They were saying about themselves that they killed someone. You can't kill someone for that. That doesn't hold up in Beis Din. Doesn't hold up in Beis Din. You can't kill somebody because they said they killed somebody. So Rechav Bana said, at worst, at best, he rewards us. At worst, nothing happens to us. We're not going to be killed. Because we'll say, okay, if you don't believe us, then we'll just say we found Ishbosheth's head. And Ishbosheth was killed. So at best, we'll get rewarded. At worst, nothing will happen to us. He said to them, Chai Hashem HaShapotas Nashim Kol Tzoroah, by the life of God who saved me from all pains, the person who told me that Shaul HaMelech died, he thought he was telling me great news. The Oksavo, I grabbed him by our gate and I killed him. The Tziklug, right, in Tziklug, when he wanted to give over that news. So therefore, even more so, Akal Bachomer, you evil men, they killed a man that was a tzaddik. Now, Shaul HaMelech may have done things that deserve the death penalty. There were things that he did that may have deserved the death penalty. Number one, he used magic toward the end of his life. He convinced the Balak to tell him what to do. He was Chai Misen away. He had destroyed Nov Ira Kohanim. So in theory, he was Chai Misen. They didn't have to do it, but in theory, Shaul HaMelech was Chai Misen. He had chased after me. He was a rodeif of me. Right? So in theory, there were things that Shaul HaMelech did. But you guys, you killed an Ish Tzadik. Ishbosheth never did anything. In his house, on his bed. Don't you think that I was going to avenge his blood from your hands? Obiarka is coming to heart, and that I would obliterate you from the entire world. You murdered a tzaddik whose life was not in danger and was never coming after me. There's no way I'm going to let you live whatsoever. Now, it's true that, by the way, as a side note, Ishbosheth was a big tzaddik. The Pasuk is telling us he's a tzaddik, and David HaMelech is saying it. He wasn't exaggerating. Ishbosheth was a massive tzaddik who was humble and reserved, served God wholeheartedly, shied away from battle and conflict. He never wanted to be involved in those types of things. That's the idea behind it.
It sounds so hypocritical to what he was right now.
Who was Ishbosheth?
Yeah, he was the king at a questionable
made king by Avner based on a Pasuk in the Torah. You hear what I'm saying? Like, he only took it because of that. But he never took hold of the kingdom by himself and never did anything. Yeah. The only thing we ever hear Ishbosheth saying or doing is saying to Avner, how could you have taken one of the concubines of the king as your wife? And that's how logically he was correct. How could you? How were you allowed to do something like that? So look at Pasuk Yud Beis. Right? Tzav David is an Aron ve'Argum. David HaMelech commanded the young men and they killed them. The Rechav and Bana. They cut off their hands and feet by Yisrael of Rechav and Chavron and hung their bodies over the pool in Chavron. As Rosh Ishbosheth lakach v'yifru b'kever Avner b'Chavron, they took the head of Ishbosheth, they buried it in the kever of Avner in Chavron. They wanted to make sure that the head of Ishbosheth, which was filled with Torah, would be as close to the close as possibly can be. So the head of these boshes is very by Avner, right by Ma'aretz Machpelah in Hebron. That's exactly where it is. The reason why they cut off their hands and everything is Vida Kenegamida. For killing these boshes, they were killed. For raising their hands against the king, he cut off their hands. For running to do evil, he cut off their feet. And for cutting off each boshes' head, a form of hanging, he hung them up over the pool. So he took them down by that night. You're not allowed to leave a person hanging overnight, but he did that. And the reason why he was allowed to do this over here, even though halachically is a little bit different, the reason why he was allowed to do it is because
Morid Malchus.
That's not exactly correct. But he felt that as a king, he had to make an example so that no other child of Shaul would be killed. Because the people saw that Rechav Abana sort of got away with it, right? And they weren't being killed for it. That people might kill Mephibosheth, David Melech's Rebbe. So David Melech wanted to make sure that no other child or relative of Shaul Melech would be killed. So he did this by making sure everybody knew Rechav Abana was going to were killed in a very, very terrible way. We're up to Parak Hay over here. By vocal shift Yisrael, David Chabrona. So all the Shvatim Yisrael came to David and Chabrona. By Yomer Lamor, they said, saying, listen, we are your bones and your flesh. We're part of your Shevet. I know you never seek the throne. We know that you weren't involved. But 300,000 warriors came over here and they said, we are willing to give you your kingdom and we're willing to be together with you the entire time. Even beforehand, when Shaul HaMelech was the king, you were the guy bringing Bnei Yisrael to war. Shem said to you, you will be the shepherd of all Bnei Yisrael, that you will be the king over Bnei Yisrael. Okay? Now, the fact is that it's clear we are going to be with you in everything because you acted like a king. By vocals, Bnei Yisrael and Melech Chabrona. Now, the Zekanim of Yisrael, this is not only the people of Yehuda, but also the Zekanim of Bnei Yisrael that came to the king Chabrona to Chabrona, Yichus Lamelech David Bris to Chabrona. David made a bris with them that he would not hurt them with Hashem. By Yimshku is David Lamelech Yisrael, and then they anointed him as king over all of Bnei Yisrael. They were worried. This is a king. They had supported Ishbosheth. They were worried that now David Melech would take his revenge against them. But David Melech assured them, absolutely not. I will never do anything to you. I understand what you were doing, and that's that. Some say when it says by Yavokal Zikney Saul, they were representatives. Others say that the previous pasuk, when it says that they came, was reference to representatives of the kingdom that came along. Regardless, this is what they did. They made a massive feast, it says in Divrei Hayamim. In Divrei Hayamim it says they made a huge feast with all these types of foods, pastries, figs, raisins, wine, oil, oxen, and sheep, all over the place. It was a massive, massive thing over here, but that's the idea behind it. Now, we learn from over here, by the way, that just like the king was made king after a lot of suffering, David HaMelech went through a lot in order to become king over here, that's the way Mashiach is going to be as well. Mashiach will only become king after a little bit of trial and suffering and little things that are going to happen to him. Number, Pasuk Dalet, Ben Shloshim Shana David HaMelech, Arbayim Shana HaMelech, he was 30 years old when he became king. He ruled for 40 years altogether. B'Chevron Malach HaYehuda, Sheva Shanim, B'Shisha Chadashim. In Hebron, he ruled on Bnei Yehuda for 7 years and 6 months. Yerushalayim Malach Shloshim V'Shloshim Shana, I'll call Yisrael V'Yehuda. And in Yerushalayim, he was king for 33 years altogether. So again, he was ruler for 40 years, and I know it seems a little bit more than 6 months. It's somehow a little bit over, a little bit under. It's basically 40 years that he was king for altogether.
Why is it telling us, it doesn't usually tell us beforehand, like, we have a lot of David to
how much of a king he was, right? They usually tell him after. They say after how long he was.
Yeah, usually afterwards.
Probably because this is a little bit different because of what happened in Hebron. We're trying to add on the years of Hebron to what's happening over here, so
they're
probably that's
part of the
why.
40 years was.
It's probably the reason why. That would make the most sense. By Yelakam Elevanoshim, it says in Pasuk Vav, the king went and all of his men Yerushalayim to the Yerushalayim, Eliyavusi to the Jebusites, Yosheva Aretz, who were living in the land, by Yomer LeDavid Lame, when they said, he said to David, saying, Lo Sabwani, you can't come here. Only if you remove the blind in the lane, Lame Lo Yavo David Haina. They said to themselves, David's unable to come here. So the fact is that they were somewhat right. There were two parts of Yerushalayim. One belonged to Binyamin already, and one belonged to Yehuda. Okay? The part that belonged to Binyamin was already in Binyamin's hands. But the other part of Yerushalayim belonged to the Yebusim. They weren't able to defeat them. Why? Because Avimelech made a treaty with both Avram and Yitzchak that they would never defeat his children, that they would never kill his children, that nothing bad would happen. They would have a treaty between them. Now, David and Melech did not feel that they any longer had to keep them that bris, because the people of that city, the Pelishim that were living there, had already fought against the Jews. So because of that, they broke the treaty first, therefore we're going to be able to defeat it themselves. The lame and the blind that they're referring to over here were two massive statues that stood outside the city. One represented Yitzchak, the blind man. And one represented Yaakov, who was lame after fighting with the Malach. And it represented both of them, and they had them on the outside saying, if you defeat the lame and the blind, from in front of us, then we'll be able to go. But until then, we have a bris with your grandparents that you can't be there. But David Malach held that it didn't apply anymore. It says, but Yoko David is Mitzudas Tzion here, David. So the first thing David captured was Mitzudas Tzion, the stronghold of Zion, which is now known as Ir David. Now, we don't have this anymore. This is not the Mitzudas David that you see when you go into the Kotel on the, I keep forgetting which side it is, on the western side of the old city walls. This is not what it's referring to. The Tower of Citadel, the Citadel of David or whatever it is, that's not Mitzudas Tzion. This is referring to on the other side and where what's now Silwan and the Valley of Gehenna, the Valley of Gaben Hinnom, right, that area right over there, somewhere around there was a fortress. Maybe it's still something's up there. Who knows where it is exactly. Somewhere around there, that's what David HaMelech was able to capture, and that's what it means. That's known as Ir David. Ir David is Shawan. That's where he had his palace and where most of the people lived at the time.
One of my Rebbeim told us that he went on a tour of Ir David and they took him to the palace, whatever, so they were looking over the balcony and he noticed, he saw like a mikvah type thing, so he said, I bet that's where Batsheva.
That's cute. I don't know if it was exactly where David was. By Yomahu. David HaMelech said on that day, Komaki of Uzi v'Yigabat Sinur v'Sapiskom as Ibrin, Sinue Nefesh David. He said on that day, anybody who kills the Yavusi and lays a hand on the tower and the lame on the blind, they hate David's soul. So that's how it came. Al-Kain Yomru Ibru Pisekho Yavol Abayas. Because of the blind and the lame, no one will come into the house. Now, the fact is, David HaMelech was really trying to say, whoever first killed the Yavusi and first to capture the fortified tower, and at the time slayed every person there, right? Everybody who David HaMelech hated, not that David HaMelech hates the person who does it, but rather that David HaMelech is hated by those people. Anybody who does that, they will be the commander of the army. Who is the guy who defeated the Yavusim at that moment? Yoav, who is disgraced, was able to get back into good favor with the king by being the first person to defeat the armies of the Yavusim inside this tower. That's what ended up being.
Handedly, or he brought an army?
What did Yoav do, says the Medrash? He brought a cypress tree, stuck it in the ground alongside the wall of the city, climbed the tree, hoisted himself over the wall. David HaMelech davened, and God lowered the wall so that he too could join the attack. That's one way of looking at it. Another shot brought down by the Medrash is that he cut off the aqueduct, the water supply that went into the city, to which the Yavusim eventually had to come out because they had no water left. As we know, there are no other rivers outside there except for one way for the river to come in. There was a river one time that was near that area of Yerushalayim. Once they cut off the water supply, and that's the Tzinor, then they had to eventually come out. Regardless, they definitely took down the images. Now, they were able to use those images and bring them out, right, and show them to the people that were out there. How were they able to use the images? Because they had a guy with them named Itai Agitai. Itai Agitai was a non-Jew who was able to be mevatel all the Avodah Zarah that was there at that time before he was Megayer. So he was mevatel the Avodah Zarah to the point where they could use the Avodah Zarah and then be able to use the gold, use the silver, and do whatever it was over there. Yeah.
I missed it. Why did Yaakov and Yitzchak made a treaty with these people?
Yitzchak and Avram made a treaty with the Yavusim that they wouldn't go around. That wouldn't go around them. That's the treaty that he made with Avimelech, Melech Plishtim, and the Plishtim were related to the Yavusim. So because of that, they weren't able to go inside. There was nothing he could do.
How was David able to break it?
He said that they fought us first. Since they fought us first and they tried killing us, therefore we no longer have to hold of the treaty. Or he held that the years of the treaty ran out. That, yes, we held this treaty for 480 years, maybe even longer, 500, 600 years, however long it's been, but it's time now. Either way, Pasuk says, Vayishav David Matsuda, he sat in the stronghold, Vayikulat Ir David, and he called the area Ir David, Vayivan David Sabimini Milova Vaisa. He built round and around from the citadel, from that area, all inward to be able to go. At this point, that's when David HaMelech made the third bracha invention. Rachim, Hashem Yisrael, Yom Yerushalayim, etc. That's when he built up that idea right over there. So David got greater and greater, step by step. So this is Yehuda's level. He's not a jumper. He's not like Yosef, in which he was like this, and then all of a sudden, whoa, he's all the way up on top. He did it gradually, little by little. Haluch the gadol. As he went, he got greater. And Hashem was with him in everything he did. Hiram, the king of Tyre. So he sent messengers to David, as well as cypress wood, as well as carpenters of wood, and stone quarriers here that would be able to make walls. And they made a house for David HaMelech. That's what they ended up doing over here. They created David HaMelech's palace. Now, they did not yet create the Beis HaMikdash. Why didn't they create the Beis HaMikdash? Because they knew this was not time to create the Beis HaMikdash. Not until they destroy Amalek. First thing they have to do is cut down Amalek. Then they were going to build up the Beis HaMikdash. That was their plan. We're going to see what's going to end up happening over here. But let's see what happens. Pasuk Yud Beis. I ate a David Kiyachino Hashem the Melech
HaYisrael. So Hiram was a neighboring king that decided, David's a strong king, I better get on him.
Hiram Melech Tzur was also David Melech's great, 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 great grandfather's friend. The Medrash says that Hiram Melech Tzur was Hira Hoadulami in Parshas Vayeshev. The friend of Yehuda, whose name was Hira Hoadulami, his friend who went to go pay the Zona afterward and everything like that, that was Hiram. He lived for a total of almost 900 years, Hiram. And he's alive even today, and he helped out David HaMelech by paying for this thing over here because he said, oh, my friend Yehuda's great, 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 great grandson, I'll take care of him. Now David HaMelech knew that God had made him king over Israel, and that his Malchus had been exalted for the sake of Bnei Yisrael. He didn't see himself as a figure that had to rule Bnei Yisrael. He saw himself as a figure as a servant of the people. That's what he saw himself as. David owed Pilachim, so he took other Pilachim, concubines, Menashim Yerushalayim, and wives from Yerushalayim. Acharei Bo Mechavron, after they had come down from Chevron, Vayivoldu Odu David Badum Abadus. And there were more sons and more daughters that were born to David HaMelech. That's the idea behind them. Now, it seems weird that it says Pilachim Menashim, the concubines before the wives. It could be that he got the concubines before he got the wives. Could be that. Maybe the concubines first. Others say that maybe it's trying to tell you the halacha, that only a king can take a concubine. Not anyone is just allowed a concubine. Rambam holds only kings are allowed them. Others say that the concubines outnumbered the queens, and that's why it said concubines first. But either way,
totally, you're only allowed to have 18 of
18 altogether, and that is no more than 18. I know that seems very little, but no more than 18. Melech Rosi Yelodim Lo Yerushalayim. These are the names of the kids that were born to him in Jerusalem. Shamua Shovav Nathan is Shlomo. Right, Shlomo is should be Shlomo Melech, but it's out of order because Shlomo Melech was probably the last one born out of all these kids. It's clear that many of them had God's name in there. You have Elishua, Elishama, El Yoda, Elifolet. Probably the other names also represent God's names in some way, shape, or form, but we don't know how. This Nason that's mentioned in Pasuk Yud Dalet, by the way, is not Nason Anavi. It is not the same person over here.
Wait, why did they? David had a lot more kids than this. Why these kids?
Probably these are the most special.
Do we ever see most of these kids later in Tanakh? Shlomo,
well, remember,
the only
we
one.
List the other ones beforehand. Remember Adon Yahu and everybody else like that?
David had probably close to 90.
The only ones that we know of in Tanakh, because Kilov is mentioned elsewhere, but the only ones we know of in Tanakh are Amnon, Abshalom, Adon Yahu, unfortunately, because of the terrible things they did, and Shlomo Melech. That's it. We don't know of any of the other kids.
We don't know about the other kids.
Vayishmu Pelishim Ki Mashku is David HaMelech HaYisrael. The Pelishim heard that they had anointed David HaMelech as king over Israel. And remember, David HaMelech was the guy who was friends with the king of Achish. Vayalu Kol Pelishim Levakish is David. All the Pelishim went up to go search what's going on with David. Vayishma David Yerda Lematuda. David went down, and he went down to the stronghold in order to start a war. The Pelishim went to go find out about David HaMelech. They said, David, you were our friend. Are you still our friend? Are you not our friend? David HaMelech answered their question by going down to the stronghold. I was never your friend, said David HaMelech. I was always on the side of the Jews, and I used you to be able to get your position. Had I fought in that war against Shlomo HaMelech, you would have all died. That's what David HaMelech is saying. But I am not. I am absolutely not on your side. The Plishim came, they spread out by Emek Rephaim, which is where the street is today of Emek Rephaim.
Oh, really?
Right around the area of Baca. That's exactly where they went, the Valley of the Giants. So David Melech, as usual, asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, saying, Ha'elol Plishim, should I go up to the Plishim? Will you put them in my hands? Go up, because I put the Plishim into your hands. Again, it's weird, because he has two questions over here, but
we don't know that he's asking where Maduin. He could be talking to
That is due to Orma Tumim, whatever it says, inquired of Hashem. He came to the area called Baal Perotzim. Vayakim Shem David, and he killed them there.
Rule of the one question to Orma Tumim, because David does not follow that rule. Ever.
Yeah, Sholom Melech is where we learn it from. Vayakim Shem David, David Melech killed them there. Vayomar Parat Hashem is Oyvai Lepanai, Keperet Moim. God has breached my enemies in front of me like the crashing of waters. Al Kim Korshim Makamahu Baal Perotzim. He had literally destroyed all the Plishti people that had come up against him. He destroyed as much as he possibly could. Now, the reason why he had to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be because he felt somewhat indebted to the Plishti. They did save him, and he was able to go to there, right? So it could be that that's what it's referring to over here, and that's why over here. It's interesting because he did say, Nason Atain, the double lashon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will surely give. Why is it a double lashon of I will surely give? What's the line of saying that I will surely give? It could be that the reason why he's trying to say it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, not only will I let you defeat the nation, I will let you subdue the angel that is up there in Shemayim. I will let you destroy the angel that's up there, so that it's both the angel that's gone in that. What?
This is the last time you see the Plishtim, then surely, then the double.
No, it could be. It could be this is the last
time. Double Lashon can be saying, you're done with them.
We'd have to check, but I'm pretty sure you're right. This could very well be when Parakei Pasuk Chof Aleph, right over here. So, either way, that's the idea behind it. So that's that. They left their idols there, and David and his men set them on fire. They carried them up, and they put them to fire. Again, the reason why they burned them, they burned them is because you can't use Avodah Zarah. It could be that Itai Agiti also was able to be mavatzel this of Odozara. But you see, the Plishim Ralos and Yinashu Be'im Rephaim, the Plishim came up again! And they spread out in the valley of Rephaim. Now, this time it wasn't all of them. Beforehand, it was all the Plishim that came out. This time it was like, I don't know. David Melech has destroyed us each time. David Melech asked Hashem and said, should I go up again? Vayomer? And Hashem said, Lo Sala. Don't go. Don't go up. Hasiv Akhoim, go behind them. I want you to go there from behind the area of the Bechayi trees, the Baki trees. When you hear a noise coming down from the Baka trees, then get yourself going and start the war. That's when God will come out in front of you, Lahakos Machane, Plishim, to kill in the Machane of the Plishim. Now listen to this. Number one, the reason why you have to ask again is because, again, he felt that Karas is over and he wasn't sure. He always asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, if you fight this time, you might start thinking that it's you that's in charge, that you're the one who's able to defeat the police. This time, I'm going to fight them, and I'm going to do it. I want it to be through something in which there's no way you could win, no way you're going to be able to win. I'm going to let you win anyway. You're going to be in a valley, they're going to be on the high ground. You're going to be outnumbered, you're going to be sitting there waiting to fight, and I'm not going to let you fight until I'm ready to do it. Maybe because the people started having gaiva, maybe that's that, but it seems likely there's another answer over here. What was the first thing that Shaul HaMelech was told to do by Shmuel HaNavi when he became king? He said, you're going to fight against other people, against the Plishtim. Okay? And he told them, don't fight until
I tell you
to fight.
And he went.
Wait until I get there. Shaul HaMelech was sitting there for 7 days and waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally couldn't take it anymore. The people were like, come on, let's go Shaul, let's go Shaul. And eventually Shaul HaMelech capitulated, started to burn the korbanos. Shmuel HaNavi came in and said, why'd you do it without me? To which Shaul HaMelech said, I had to do it, the people, etc. To which Shmuel HaNavi said, then God hates you. The exact same test was given over to David HaMelech. You're going to have something. And the people started complaining like mad. He's going to complain like mad. What? How can you do this? We can't go this way. Why wouldn't we fight them the normal way? Dove and Melech, you're crazy. How are we going to win? What's going on over here? Let's fight now. What's wrong with you? And Dove and Melech sat there and said, stop it. We're not doing anything until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me the sign. And even when the Plishim started rushing toward them with their weapons, and the people were like, Dove, come on. Let's go. Dove and Melech said, no. Not until I'm ready. We're not leaving until I'm absolutely ready. And when they did, all of a sudden, when the pollution were upon them, all of a sudden, David Mel said, now! And then lightning struck, killed 150,000 men, and the earth quaked. You know, it wasn't them. So they saw it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu fighting, not them. That was the idea of what it was supposed to do. He said, better that we die than go against Hashem's word, and that was the right way to do it over here. Now, why did God do this, for real? Granted, it could have been because of Gaiva and everything. The Malbim says, because of the Kolchavim. In astrology, at the time, this time of day, or this time of whatever it was, the Kolchavim mandated that the Jews would lose this war to the Plishtim. That
why
somehow it was in there, that the mazel...
ever listen to? God doesn't have to listen.
It's not that God listens. That God does not do crazy miracles unless it's absolutely necessary. So, in this case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, there's no need for us to fight right now. Go to the Bechayim and wait. And I'll tell you when you should fight. And when the mazel went away, and when it was time for the Jews to be able to be successful, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, fight now. Fight now. And that's the idea behind it. And that's the idea of what we're supposed to do. Vayas David Cain, Kasher Tzivo Hashem. David Mel did exactly what Hashem commanded him. Vayas Plishim Migeva Ad Boach HaGozer. He killed them from Geva all the way to Gozer. Check it out over here, guys. If you check out over here, Yerushalayim is right there. Okay, so he went from Hebron to Yerushalayim. Okay, here's the Valley of Rephaim. He went out to go fight, and then they went like this. The Plishtim came all the way over here. The Plishti force right over here. They fought against them, they defeated them, and the Plishtim started running away this way. From Geva, that's Giva right over here, Givon, Beis Koron, all the way to Gezer. All the way to right over here. He destroyed them in all of these areas. Right around here, and that's when they ended up going. You can see the little arrows like that refer to the Plishtim, and the black mark refers to Bnei Yisrael. Pretty crazy, isn't it? That's what they ended up doing over here. Really good guys.
Who said the pshat about that Hashem that it was all about guys Hashem wanted to show them that he was...
I don't know. I wish I could tell you. The Miyam Loez. We're just going to say the Miyam Loez. So he doesn't give... I mean, this one doesn't have any Perushim inside it, unfortunately. Here we go. By Yosef O. David is called Bachar Yisrael Shloshimala. David Amalek captured or grabbed for himself 30,000 of the choicest men over here. This is not just referring to the warriors over here. This is referring to Torah scholars. What he did was he gave them smicha. He told them that they were going to be a rebbe. They were going to be able to judge all cases, including criminal law. And he told them they were going to be the ones that were around there. In other words, he started the very first kollel of 30,000 men that were going to be sitting and learning every single day. He gave them all smicha and sent them out to all the towns and said, you guys are the rabbeim. Go out and teach Torah to all of Bnei Yisrael. These were the first people that he had right over there. It says, by Yosef Ode, and he did more. That means there were already 30,000 scholars in Klal Yisrael, and he added on another 30,000 that they were already there. And that's the idea behind it. He doubled their total.
Ode, he doubled
the amount, or that's what he's saying right now. That's what he's saying over here. So that's the idea behind it, making them tell me to chachamim and doubled them all together. Some say that he added 60,000 to the current 30,000 that are right over there. They add on the word, they say, by Yosef, 30,000. Owed another 30,000 to the existing 30,000. Then altogether, there were 90,000 altogether. People that were Talmidei Chacham and the people that were in charge.
Logic. I'm not sure if this question is even very good, but like about Yosef's name itself, the Yosef Ode, there was nothing to begin with.
By Yosef Od Ben Acher, it's by Yosef Od Ben Acher, another son after Yosef.
Oh, she's saying double
Binyamin. Yeah, she wanted to have another one from right over there. On that day, the Yerushalmi teaches that David HaMelech appointed 90,000 sages, but Achitophel was not included by any of them. Achitophel, the famous Achitophel.
90,000 couldn't make the cut.
At the time, the Kohanim took the arm, it carried them a bit, and then the arm flung them to the ground. David called for Achitophel and said, "What advice have you got for me?" The arm lifts up the Kohanim only to hurl them to the ground. So Achitophel said, "Why don't you send for the sages that you just ordained?" Said Achitophel, "Let them give you advice." David Melech was not pleased. "He who knows how to prevent this from happening but remains silent will in the end be put to death," he said to Achitophel. "Bring a sacrifice before the Aron and it will stop," said Achitophel. "I do know what to do. Take a korban, sacrifice it, and then it will stop." So with that, every six steps they're going to start giving korbanos, as we're going to see what's going to be over there. That's the idea of what is going to be over here. So that's what happened with Achitophel, who was not called to be one of the sages, but it wasn't necessarily a bad thing. It could be that the reason why he wasn't called was because he wanted him to stay as his chief advisor, and that would make the most sense, and that's the reason why. Okay, that's that. The other way, the Pashit way of learning this up, right, instead of saying that Talmid HaChachamim, is that when he saw that the Plishtim were still going to fight him, he added on 30,000 more warriors to his forces. That's the first thing he did. Next, he brought the Aron HaKodesh to Yerushalayim, where he was living, because remember what the Aron did when it was among the Plishtim. The Plishtim remembered what the Aron did. It gave them hemorrhoids and the rats biting their tushies. They remembered that, and they realized that we can't just go up against Aron Kodesh, and they considered it a protection for Bnei Yisrael by doing this type of a thing. That's the reason why. So we gathered them in to be able to do this, just in case they would come around. Here we go. Also, by the way, the reason why he had Bachur, because Bachurim know how to dance. And when he brought the Aron Kodesh up, he wanted people that were going to dance and sing in front of the Aron Kodesh, just as David Malcolm himself did. He told me, Bala Yehuda, Lahalos, Misham, as Aron Elokim. They went up from Bala Yehuda to bring up the Aron of God, Asher Nikor Sham, Shame, Hashem Tzvakos, Yoshev Akruv Malav, that had the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Yoshev Akruvim up on top of there. Now, Bala Yehuda is the same place as Kiryas Ya'aron. That's Bala Yehuda. Remember, the Aron was originally brought to Beit Shemesh, but the people of Beit Shemesh had a lot of people killed. 50,000 or 70,000 people were killed in that area, so they brought it up to Kiryas Ya'aron. Kiryas Ya'aron is where Neve is. It's the top of the mountain, exactly where Neve is nowadays. That's where the Aron Kodesh was. And then they took it from Kiryas Ya'aron, which is Neve, they brought it to Yerushalayim, up to an even higher elevated idea right over here, and that's the idea behind it. Okay?
So the way that they were able to get the Aron, because it kept on flinging everybody, was with the wagon and set?
It seems that there was a wagon that was used, and that's the reason why nobody was able to take it. Yeah.
So we're going to see. That was the solution to the problem, I guess?
I guess so. I think that's the real idea behind it and why it was called that way. We're going to be told about Uzzah, who gets involved over here, unfortunately, was going to be punished. We're about to get to over here. The reason why the name Shame, Hashem Tzvakos, is repeated over here is because his name was exalted among all the other peoples from what had just happened over here, with how they had destroyed the Plishtim, and from everything that David HaMelech had done. That's the idea. Another reason why they said Shame is because there are two sets of Luchos that are brought inside the Aron Kodesh. There was the broken Luchos and the second Luchos that were there together. So that's a second reason why they were supposed to be over here. That is that. Okay, what else do we have over here? It says in Pasuk Gimel over here, Vayarkivu es Aron Elokim El Agola Chadasha. They mounted the Aron of Hashem to a brand new wagon by Yisrael Mi Beis Avinadav, and they brought it from the house of Avinadav, Asher B'Giva, that was in Giva. Now this was a massive mistake of David HaMelech, something that even the little kids knew. You don't carry the Aron Kodesh on a wagon. You carry it on the shoulders. The David HaMelech doing this was a terrible sin that he had forgotten, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it. You had a little bit of gaiva for something that he had done earlier, and therefore he was punished in forgetting a very simple law. He said, Zmiros are you li chukecha. Your laws are like songs to me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's all they are? They're just songs? Songs? And that's it? If you're going to say anything, say it's a shira, which is like a symphony. Let's say it's a song. For that, you're going to be punished that you're going to forget it. Like people forget a Stam song. And therefore he made a mistake and he forgot a law that even the little kids knew.
That's how people remember things, as songs.
You're right, but there are still details that you might not remember in a song.
It makes sense to say what it means here is like more of like
a little bit there. Yeah, an in-depth, something that you'll pay attention to. Maybe a Zimra is just like a na 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 na, something like that. You don't remember.
You make a mistake.
making the sign.
Either way, Be'uza Be'achyo, the Avinadav Uza and Achyo, the sons of Avinadav, Nohagam Sagala Chadashim, they were driving the wagon in front of them. They were the ones there. Uza and Achyo, the sons of Avinadav, were not Levim. They were not Kohanim. And that was a problem because the Aron should have been carried, right, by Kohanim.
They couldn't get it carried. I'm confused.
They couldn't get it?
Anytime they tried to carry it, it
wouldn't work. Nonetheless, you keep doing it until you have to. There's no reason why you should stop that. Now, why did he use a wagon? What was the real reason? What was David Melech thinking? He had to have a svara. The svara was, this was the same wagon that the Plishim used to bring it from the Plishim to Beit Shemesh. So David Melech thought that this is a Kadosh wagon, so maybe it should be used for this reason as well. What were you saying?
My thinking was, it wasn't necessarily the wagon itself, it was the idea of a wagon work. So, he was kind of
so they said, let's do this again.
Yeah.
It says over here that it definitely was the same wagon of what it was, what is the wagon that it was before. Either way, that's the idea behind it. Okay, I think we're going to stop with this for right now. But the reason why he was punished is because he called it Zmiros, right? That's what he said over here, right?
Did we find that to be, is that Medrus or?
Yeah, no, it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara.
Okay.
It says Zmiros Elifel Kecha. I forgot where, but I think it is in Bava Kama, if I remember correctly. That's that. That is that. Let's see if there's anything else over here. Okay, we're going to have to go on a little bit further over here. We'll stop with this for next time, and we'll start with Pasuk Gimel. So on Perek Vav, Pasuk Gimel. Okay, guys, love it.